Listen to part of a lecture in an anthropology class.
Afternoon, all. Let's begin, shall we? So, this morning we're going to talk about kinship and descent. We know that all societies face similar questions of how to facilitate economic cooperation between men and women, how to provide a proper setting for raising children, and how to regulate reproductive activity. Over time, the results of these choices form patterns of family organization. What anthropologists call kinship structures. Today, we're going to look at one type of kinship structure, the descent group. Now, a descent group is any publicly recognized social entity in which being a lineal descendant of a particular real or mythical ancestor is a criterion for membership. In other words, people will claim a direct lineal, as in following a line, a lineal relationship to an ancestor. That ancestor could be a mythical individual, or maybe even a known historical individual. Now, what's important here to understand membership structure is that to belong to this descent group, in some cases called an extended family, but we'll get to that in a minute, an individual would have to demonstrate a connection to the founding ancestor, and that connection would have to be publicly recognized. That is, the descent group would have to recognize whether or not the individual, belongs. So, as you can see, we're talking about group formation here. And for many societies, kinship organizations, families in everyday language, are an extremely important social institution. Perhaps the most important group an individual may belong to. Okay, back to my point, descent groups. This specific type of family organization includes several, if not many, generations, and will also branch outward. You might have guessed that we're talking about extended families here, not just the immediate family. Let's say you live with your mother and father, a sister and a grandmother, your mother's mother. This would be your household. Now, when we talk about an extended family, we're talking about something far larger. That would be all the individuals you can trace as relatives. Now then, here's where descent groups get interesting. Anthropologists study the rules descent groups use to decide membership. Where do you draw that line between who are your relatives and who aren't? And what are the consequences? I want to talk about two specific patterns for tracing membership in descent groups, matrilineal descent and patrilineal descent. There are others as well, but we'll just focus on these two for today. Both matrilineal and patrilineal descent trace membership along one line, either the mother's line, matrilineal, or the father's line, patrilineal, one line only. And this has implications for, for where a son or daughter lives, when he or she gets married, what family name a child will take, how inheritance is transferred from one generation to another, among other things. These things vary from society to society, so let's just look at the more general patterns that show up in these two cases. Patrilineal descent is the more widespread of the two systems. Rural society in a traditional China, for example, was strongly patrilineal. Typically, extended families were the basic unit for economic cooperation, with households often including elderly parents, a son, the son's wife, and the son's children. Often, the son's brother and his wife and children were members of the household as well. A father was responsible for disciplining his children, and his children were also expected to treat their father's brothers with respect and obedience. Families were organized into descent groups called tsu, but these groups are sometimes referred to as clans in the literature. Although a daughter moved to the household of her husband's family, she remained in her father's tsu. Her children, however, would belong to their father's tsu. The function of the tsu was to assist members economically. Members would come together to share costs and labor for weddings, ancestral feasts, and funerals. Rural China was a hugely agrarian society. That's agricultural, right? Well, we often find patrilineal descent in societies with extensive agriculture. Okay then, matrilineal descent, on the other hand, is typically found in pastoral or horticultural societies, that smaller scale or garden scale farming of crops. The Hopi of the American Southwest, for instance, are divided into a number of clans based on strict matrilineal descent, At birth, each individual is assigned to membership in his or her mother's clan. Members of the clan are expected to support each other. In village life, these clans break into smaller sub-clans or lineages, each headed by a senior woman, although she shares leadership with her brother or her mother's brother. It is the woman, however, who acts as the, well, mediator of disputes within the clan, with her brother or uncle acting as her advisor. Traditionally, clans owned complex housing structures and shared land. A husband would live with his wife in her clan structure and farm his wife's clan's land. His wife's brother would discipline their children, and if a man was seen as an unsatisfactory husband, his wife could simply divorce him by placing his belongings outside the door. Now, how do you like that?
Now get ready to answer the questions. You may use your notes to help you answer.